Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 24 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled From Endurance to Preserving Truth. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
This morning, as we begin, this teaching, of course, is the clash of the two kingdoms, God's side versus the dark side. Subtitle is From Endurance to Preserving Victory. In the context of the teaching today is endurance to preserving victory. And therefore, what that means is our victory has already been won. Our victory has already been won. So we are approaching life. We approach the things that are going on in this earth with the understanding that the victory has already been won. So it's kind of like in World War II also, there were some Japanese on remote islands that they found several years later still fighting World War II, but they haven't gotten the news that the United States had victory. So, but they were still operating under their previous information that they had. They just didn't have the latest update. As believers, we need to understand this battle's been won. I mean, it really has. It's been won. And so, therefore, someone has to go around telling the earth, hey, it's been won. And so we find ourselves in preserving the victory that's already been won. Does that make sense? So if we live our life from the attitude that it's got to be won, then we'll find ourselves fighting a lot instead of operating out of victory a lot. There's a difference in living in victory and fighting battle, because our faith is not in the battle. Our faith is in the victory. So we've been called to preserve victory. Now let's move on a little closer. How do we preserve it? The title this week is With the Truth. So victory is preserved with the truth. Not with my ideas, not with my ability to make the truth palatable so you'll receive it. The idea here is that I have enough sense to realize what the truth of God is, and then we proclaim it, thus preserving victory. Now, so the question is, in our life today, can victory be lost? Now think here just a second. What is good is being set free through victory if you are still under bondage? What good is it? What good is victory if you're still under bondage? So we discover that for the people of God to walk out victory is understanding that you've been persuaded that the victory is true. Now, in being persuaded that the victory is true, I've said this before, but the supernatural world has two speeds. One's slower than the naked eye, and the other one's faster than the naked eye. You've heard me say that before. But it has two speeds. There are things going on in the ocean. What percent of the earth is water? Ocean? 75 or something like that, is water. Did you know that there's a whole world going on in the ocean right now that I can't see? But does it mean it's not going on? No, because my brain tells me to have enough sense to know that there's a whole world going on beneath the ocean, which is 75% of the world. So that's a lot of activity. But just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not going on. It's through faith and science and video clips that I am persuaded it's going on. Well, surely to goodness, the Word of God is greater than science or a video clip. And if it is, I know that supernaturally there are things going on slower than the naked eye and faster than the naked eye that I can't see. But nonetheless, it's going on. And we've went through the, I went through chaos and teaching. I'm going to hit it just a little bit today. If you will fasten your seatbelts, I am really going to move fast today. I promise. For I must move quickly. Now, you know the drill. It's being conformed or transformed. We'll hit just a few items quickly. Conformed or transformed. Now, just get that in your mind. Being conformed, transformed. And it's in Romans 12:2. You know the scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God here being the main thing of this verse, and that we can know what the will of God is. I'm embarrassed to inform you how much of my life I have lived struggling with the will of God, like it was optional or something. I'm not really sure what my problem has been. The issue is finding the potential of chaos. We hit on this a little bit last week, and I gave you that the conformers try to manipulate and fix chaos. We can see, turn on the news, look at the world, look at our past elections, just look at the state of the world, and you have to admit it's in total chaos. It's in really huge trouble. Now, transformers, it confronts chaos and creates that which is good. So that the transformation statement there is a little contrary to what's in the nature of man. We tend to want to flee chaos. Who wants to run into a hurricane, right? Who wants to run into a tsunami? But yet we see this happening on the planet, and that's what God has called us to do. And now I went into this thing last week about salt and light. They are the two supernatural components necessary to transform chaos. Now, I'm doing this for Scripture. It doesn't make sense to me that salt and light brings order to chaos. But as believers and in the middle of chaos, we have to remember that salt and light is what brings order to any chaos. We had just a week prayer vigil that is bringing the truth of God's Word, truth through prayer, to chaos, which is sickness of the body, to bring order to that chaos, we're going to get into it later with the divine nature, but to bring order to chaos brings with it an element of excellence, and excellence, if God brings healing to someone's body, that means that the excellence of God has touched that body. It's brought something that was in chaos into order. So bringing chaos into order is done through spiritual excellence. So why is godliness important? Godliness is very important because it brings order to chaos, which is your life. And I don't want to get into that too much yet, but I want us to see the element of excellence. When we come in here and worship God, we want to do it with excellence, with all that we've got. Is excellence a mark to me? No, and excellence is that you and I are being as excellent as possible. We're giving it all we've got. We're giving God our best. We've gotten so much into sloppy grace, we've forgotten giving God our best. We give our best up front, up forward. We live our life the best. Our best is because it's that excellence that brings order to chaos. Now, I don't want to go there too much yet. It's not time. But there's two supernatural components necessary to transform chaos, which is salt and light. The issue is the tragic nature of the world and of the reality of suffering. So we've got this issue of chaos, which is this the nature that the world's in today. And in because of the nature of the chaos, it brings with it much suffering. Much suffering. Much, much, much suffering. We're all trying to escape suffering, but there's this much suffering out here. Now, since there's much suffering, We are the agents of God. We are the people of God. And because of what Jesus said, he said, you are to bring salt and light to the world, because salt and light is what brings chaos into order. So now let's look at it a little more. I went over that some last week. I'll not tarry here long. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So we see we're in this state of chaos, but yet Jesus has overcome all the chaos, which is sickness and disease and just any kind of disorder you can get mentally, physically, whatever. But Jesus says he's overcome all of that. So since we are in him and he's in us, he's wanting to use us to bring order to these chaotic situations. And I think it's a pretty tall, big deal that God's saying here. But I don't have to be persuaded of it. I can't persuade my mind that I can be an agent of God on the planet and bring order to chaos. I cannot persuade myself of that. But I can have faith that God said it and it's true. So don't wait on your brain to be persuaded. You don't have enough evidence to persuade you. But by faith, you can get there. You got to go around the brain, go to the heart, and it's by faith that you are an agent of God. So here we go. And then he says this, and we know that all things work together for good, that them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose. So here we get into this thing that all things work together for good. But the all things is not the big deal of that verse. It's to them that love God. This verse has been given to those that love God. Right? So there's a fork in the road to all things work together for good. The fork in the road is to them that love God and them that don't love God. You see it? So now this is here again. This is salt and light, this verse. Here we go, Genesis 1:1. I did it last week. In the beginning was created heavens and the earth. The earth was out form, without void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Point being, God's Spirit moved on chaos and created that he then said was good. You know the verses in Genesis 1:1. He created, this was good, this was good, this was good. So God took chaos. It went through a transformation. And because God's Spirit moved upon it, it turned into good. So why are we people of the Spirit, as primitive as we are in it? I hope I didn't hurt your feelings too bad. As primitive as we are in it and moving with the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit of God that's of necessity for chaos to come into order when we are moving with God. So I call it a life of facilitating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God's moving. We work with the Holy Spirit to bring chaos into order. Now, let's move on. Transformers have the ability to invade darkness with the light of God's Word. So as we are being transformed, we also have the ability. I'm going to show it to you. Wherever sin had left a dark void, and trust me, it does, in the world, Jesus would come and say, let there be light. So we are looking all around us. There's chaos. For some reason, a lost people tries to fix sin with more sin. Have you noticed that? And it's, you know, it's through acceptance of sin. We're going to accept sin, so that should bring order to chaos. No, it just brings more chaos. That equation will not balance. It just absolutely will not. So as we find ourselves in a place of compromise, just remember that it will not balance. Here we go. To the prophetic person, it is important to understand when we are not walking in the will of the and the Word of God that life will always revert back into chaos. And I covered that last week. So we, the Word of God comes to us, we get born again, we start walking in the will of God and the Word of God. Then we wake up one morning, we decide, well, I think I want to see if sin's still there for me. Surely I can spend sin again for a season or whatever. Then when we do that, we'll dabble in a little bit and say, okay, all of a sudden everything starts falling apart again, starts going into chaos. But we need to remember the Word of God is what holds the universe. The Word of God is, can you hear me? It's what holds the earth here. It's what rotates us. It holds the sun. It holds the stars. The Word of God, every second moment of the day, holds it in order. Now, the question is, how much of the Word of God can we take out before we get into a lost orbit? Not any. The Word of God is what holds us. Now, why? Because it is the will, it's the Word of God that brings chaos into order. Order must influence chaos, not chaos influencing order. Are you with me? So this is the battle today, the two sides, the conflict in which we're speaking about. Order must influence chaos, chaos, not chaos, order. Sin is what destroys, make no doubt about it. Sin is what destroys creation. The words of God create. Sin does what? Uncreates. That's not a word, but some way I can make it make sense. Sin uncreates. And so God creates, and it's just another way to look at it. God creates, sin decreates or uncreates. So when somebody is in sin, are they less than they should be? The answer is yes, because you know what God has created is now being down, is now being torn apart and uncreated. And I taught you that last week with Pharaoh, the plagues and those things. Now here's the revelation. The revelation that we come against or we use against chaos is salt and light. I began that last week. Is salt and light, and we'll read the scripture again. You are the what? Salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everything in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, which being interpreted is you go out of your way to shine light in darkness. Now, here we go. Salt has lost its savor. It's in Luke 14. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor or its saltiness, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land. I went over that some last week, nor for the dunghill. I haven't done that one yet. We'll do it today. But men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, what does he say? Let him hear. If you've got ears to hear, because there's a key in what Jesus is getting ready to say about salt and light. Now, the context of this verse is even more stunning than the verse itself. Jesus tells us what salt was used for in that day. Salt was scraped up from the shores of the Dead Sea. We went over that in detail last week. It was used for seasoning and fertilizer. I introduced you to that thought. There again, if you're a farmer like I am, you know every plant needs nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. It's what we call the NPK on a bag of fertilizer. That's needed for growth. Nitrogen develops leaves, phosphorus develops roots, and potash develops flowers and fruit. Now, everything there in these salt, fertilizer is called salts. Everything in these salts promotes growth. You see that? It all promotes growth. Now, if I take a bag of fertilizer or any other salt, just table salt, sodium, you take it, and if I pour it out on the ground, guess what happens? The ground dies. You kill the ground. Why? Too much salt. As Christians, we probably kill more plants than we grow. A religious spirit pours salt in one pile on the ground. It'll kill the ground every time. There's something about salts and fertilizer. When fertilizer, I'm not going to go there yet. Okay, Holy Spirit. Salt from the Dead Sea was used widely as fertilizer. And so Jesus is using this verse in the light of fertilizer more than seasoning food. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land or the dunghill, but men cast it out. Now in ancient Israel, we'll do it like this. Beside the dunghill was a box of salt. So as you know, they did use the bathroom back in ancient days. And where that was designated, outside your home or whatever, there would always be a box of salt there. And then they would take the salt, and you went to the bathroom, you just sprinkle a little salt over it. And you can say, well, what good is that? Salt was used for a disinfectant. So we see that Jesus says you're to be the salt of the earth. And so he's speaking more now like a fertilizer and a disinfectant. It brings growth. And it's a type of disinfectant. The church is to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the disinfectant of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, can it be a disinfectant? That's the question. Salt has a negative and a positive influence. Positive in that it brings growth. Negative, that it's a disinfectant. It brings itself as a disinfectant. So we see here that this salt has a twofold purpose. Now, as we move on, salt promotes growth of things you want to grow and prohibits what you do not want to grow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So the salt, to be the salt of the earth, means we're to be a disinfectant to everything that's unhealthy around us. We help preserve it. So the question is my life a light of the salt and light of God? Or am I part of the earth? Here we go. Now I'm speaking to a prophetic people. A clear picture of what the Christians are to be. Christians are the people that stop bad things from growing and promote the growth of good things. That's what we do. So are we against some things? The answer is yes. And are we for some things? The answer is yes. But we've almost got a neutral church today. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. You can't be a disinfectant of what's bad unless you ruffle a feather. If you got a dung hill, you got to put some salt on it. And you can read between those lines. So here we go. Salt is different from anything else in the soil. Now, in soup, you need just a little salt, but in the earth, you need much more. Right? In the earth, you need much more. Social trends. Now, I'm going to get a little different here. Social trends are going the wrong way. Does everybody agree? We might win a few battles here and there, but we win the war by having enough salt. We see where the social trends are. Now, it's amazing how social trends, that's just a study. The reason it's used as a study is so you can see how the trends of everybody is. So in economics, you're trying to have the right product for the right time at the right place because this is where the earth is trending. This is what people want, so on and so forth. Trends will not reverse until we get enough salt. Now, here's the question. Now, watch this one. 5% salt will reverse social trends according Now, this is according to just economic science. It doesn't take but 5%. When you look on the news and about the chaos today and what's going on the earth, it's less than 5% of the people doing it, a lot less. It's more, I think it said it's like 0.3% or something, are setting the trends of this chaos we see today. Is that not amazing? Did you know the feminist movement is not expressing the true ideals of most females on the planet? You should be right upset with it, ladies, because they are what the world's seeing is representing you. Can you see? So it doesn't take a large percentage to create a social trend. But it does take someone that's got a little bit of volume. So watch this. 5% salt will reverse social trends. Salt is of no use in the box. The salt can be in the box beside the dunghill, but it's of no use if it stays in the box. The salt must be distributed over the dunghill. Before it's a preservative. It must be in direct contact with the dirt. Here we go. Don't you love that? Y'all don't look as excited as you should be. Salt must be in contact with the dunghill before it has any qualities of disinfectant. It can't stay in the box. We can't stay in this building. We will not have any effect upon the world. Now, it's good to come to the building, but the building is not the end game. The world is the end game. And if we were truly in the world every week, you couldn't have a place big enough to hold people when we get together, because we're hitting the world. We're disinfecting the world. People don't know what you got, but they want it. You're right? Okay, here we go. We need salt in government, sports, and at work. For salt to be effective, you need a certain amount. So I'm going to go into this one now. You need a certain amount of salt to be effective. It needs to be in direct contact. It must be salty. So when we engage the world, the main thing we need to be concerned about is, when we engage the world, are we real salty? In other words, you're not palatable, you're salty. Saltiness is what brings the disinfectant. It's what does the preserving. It's because you're real salty. It's not because you're super cool and you walk in and you sashay in. Nobody can tell any difference between you and the world. And you're going to say, do you know Jesus? It's when we walk in, we're different. You say, well, I'm going to go down here to the bar and witness. Well, go to the bar and witness. But when you walk in, somebody needs to know, hey, there's something else that just invaded our bar. Something as foreign to us has just entered. And you should be able to sit down there and bring saltiness to the bar just because of the presence. You don't have to say anything, just because when salt's real salty, it has the presence of salt. Now watch it. How can salt lose its savor? It's in Matthew. You are the salt of the earth or the soil. Can you see that? Salt of the earth, soil. But if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, lest to be cast out and trodden. How can salt lose its savor? Salt never stops being salt. So here Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness. But in reality, salt is always salt. You can't take salt and pour water over and make it weaker salt. You might have less salt, but still, salt is still salt. So then Jesus says, is if salt loses its saltiness. What did he mean by that? It has to be diluted by other substances. So the way salt, which is always salt, loses its saltiness is because it's taken on other substances, which weakens the substance of the salt. A crooked salt dealer would scrape up sand with the salt, thus diluting the salt content, causing the salt to lose its saltiness. In other words, when they were, I think I did a picture, maybe I did. Impurities, diluted weakness, definition to make thinner, weaker, I think I did right here, yes. So, what they would do is they would scrape up the salt at the Dead Sea. Now, I don't know if you can really tell it in this picture. The lower left-hand corner is a pile of salt that's got a lot of sand in it. You maybe can tell it in that picture, maybe can't. Actually, there's two of them to the left-hand side of that picture. Has a lot of sand in it, so it's pushed off to the side. Somebody might buy it like for fertilizer or something, but the truth is it's got so much sand in it, it's lost its saltiness. Are you with me? Now, so it causes me to ask a question. Salt loses its quality. This type of salt has no use to anyone, so therefore must be thrown into the street. So if you had too much sand in your salt, it wouldn't even fit for the box beside the dunghill. If it had more sand in it, in the salt, it was so diluted, they said you just need to throw it out on the roads, let it be trampled in to make at least a roadbed. So the quality of the salt is the issue when the salt engages the earth. Are you with me? Now listen, let's watch this. Christians will only influence the world if they are different from it. I'm sorry. It's a Christian should walk on the scene in these last days. And you don't walk in with your head down. You walk in with such a presence of God that you're glowing. You have a spiritual glow because you're salty. You're so cotton picking salty. Somebody says, I don't know. I think some salt just walked in. And so as believers, the presence of God in a believer. Now watch it. The presence of God in a believer is what causes the glow. So let your light shine. Well, what's shining? It's the presence of God. It makes you shine, makes you glow, makes you different. I mean, I'm not saying if you want pink hair, you can't have pink hair. We'll get you some pink hair. It'll glow too. When we're saying it's difference, the difference is not so much the outward appearance, but it's what's in. And it'll glow. If you're glowing, you know you're salty. So the enemy is constantly trying to destroy your glow. He's trying to destroy your saltiness. He's trying to get you to be natural again because you're entering into the supernatural realm. So he's got to make us natural and to partake of things of the world. You can now listen, there's a lot of things Christians can do. Y'all have heard me say this before. I'm not for drinking beer, wine. I'm not for drinking anything. If you want to, go ahead. There's no problem with that. Do you think Jesus was drinking wine? Probably was. Was it fermented or not fermented? I don't know. Don't really care. But I am saying this. To a lost world, if I'm sitting there drinking a beer, it's going to hurt my glow. It's not what I associate it with. It's what they associate it with. Are you with me? Yes, you're permitted. But it's according if you're in the glowing business or not. I'm not even saying it's going to plumb hurt your glow, but in the right atmosphere, it's going to hurt it. It's not going to help. This is not going to help. I don't know why I said all that. I probably made some enemies, but whatever. Here we go. So now this is the great exchange. This is the day we are living in, this day of the great exchange. Perhaps we do have enough salt. Now, this is just a thought. Perhaps we do have enough salt. Could it be that it's losing its saltiness? In the United States of America, there's churches everywhere. It's more than 5%. I think we're still close to 50% that claim to be born again. It's more than 5%. So what's the problem? Could it be that the salt is losing its saltiness? We say we need more salt, we need more salt, we need more salt. I think the United States has plenty of salt, but the salt is losing its saltiness. I think that's our problem. Now, I can say the United States, or I can say Alan, or you can insert your name. I think our problem is our saltiness. We're trying to be salt, but not real salty, because our salt is being diluted with too much of the world in us when we're supposed to be different. Now, I didn't say we're to be have a religious spirit. To have the presence of God glowing in us has nothing to do with a religious spirit. As I said, it has nothing to do with pink hair. Not a thing. It has everything to do here. Now, watch it. The pressure is to conform and not transform. So we have the salt. We have churches everywhere, all of this. And the churches are now trying to conform instead of in the business of transforming. We should be leading society instead of following it. Good place to say amen right there. What does spiritual salt look like? Now, I've got 2 minutes, which will not do this one. What does spiritual salt look like? Wow, I hadn't even gotten to light yet. I just knew I would get there today. What does spiritual salt look like? Now, here we go. It's in Matthew 5. It's the Beatitudes. And let me show you right quickly in 60 seconds here. Let your attitude be. Let your attitude be. How do you know if you are being salt or not? It's by your attitude. And seeing the multitudes, he went up the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you see that one? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they. The peacemakers there, this is a little insert, are those that tell the truth. That's what peace, it doesn't mean that you're trying to compromise to. It's, I think most of y'all know that. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye men, as when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted that the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. This verse comes right after. It's the part of the Beatitudes. He gives you all of this information of what saltiness looks like. Then he says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall be it salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but shall be cast out and trodden underfoot. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you want to get your salt back, go read the Beatitudes. Good, That's what salty salt looks like. And here Jesus said, if you want to be salty salt, when he says those, he goes through all this blessed stuff. How do you become salt? By being blessed by Jesus. When we are blessed in these things, we become salty. There's not a thing there that is of a religious spirit. It's saltiness. And I would love for you as a class to read those this week and understand how we can become more salty and ask God to let us be blessed in what he is saying here. Because then we become salty.
That's good.
So, and as you study and read those, they are so contrary to the normal natural man, Alan. It is just not the way my brain would compromise to bring chaos into order. Has nothing to do with how I think. So I must be transformed by the Word of God. And it can happen. Does anybody want to be salt? I hadn't got into light yet. We'll do light next week. It's a supernatural happening to be the salt of the earth. And you see, you take fertilizer, you pour it out in one spot, it'll kill the ground. But if you take 300 pound of triple 19, sprinkle it over an acre of ground, it'll make it grow. As Christians, as we stay just in these walls, we're too toxic. Come on now, nobody preaches this. But that's what turns us into a religious spirit, which brings death instead of life. We have to be broadcasted weekly into the earth to bring growth. Doesn't take but 5%. We can do this. But perhaps we're losing our saltiness as the people of God. All right, there's your prophetic lesson this week. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord God, I ask and pray, if there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I ask and pray it would fall to the ground. But Lord Jesus, if what I've said is of you, I pray that it'll be quickened unto our hearts. It will become truth in our souls and our spirits. Dear God, I pray that New Life Church, those watching online, I pray that we'll be known for our saltiness. That we can disinfect and we can cause things to grow. So I anoint this group, this church, this day, that the saltiness of God, dear God, make us salty again. Where we have impurities in our hearts, it's our prayer that you'll convict us, that this salt might be cleaned up and be of high quality, to be scattered along and among the earth, that your kingdom might come to this earth. Let it be done this day. Let us see a supernatural saltiness hit us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.